Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, I'll say that. Sun is shining, it's nice and cool, feels good. I have been praying for several weeks on this, what I should talk about. And my mind kept going back to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, where it talks about Babylon. There's so much insight and so much light in there, especially pertaining to what's going on today. We need to go deeper in our thoughts and our hearts and our lives, because we are in the climatic event of Earth's history. And I'm going to say that there is a storm that is ready to break loose. And when it breaks loose, if our walk is not totally and complete with Jesus, we'll never make it through the storm. Whoever wants to, I want to bow and pray before I start. Father in heaven, we know that we are in the end of the ages. The signs of the times are all around us. We pray that you will open our ears that we might hear, that you open our minds that we might be receptive, and help us all to realize that one day soon, and very soon, there's a storm that will break loose in all its fury. Unless we have gone into the ark of safety, we will never go through that storm and be ready for heaven. So be with my tongue, my lips, my mind, my heart. Everything I say, I pray that will bring glory and honor to your name. Bless me now and use me as a tool in your hands, I pray. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 18. I want to start with verse 1 and then just slowly go through it. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I always wondered, why is it called a cage? Why is it called a habitation? And why is it called a hold? And if you look that up in the dictionary, what the definitions are, a cage is like a fence surrounding area where prisoners are kept inside. A habitation or a hold is where, if I can say this in a bold way, where you're being kept there by deception and by lies. By deceptions and by lies. You're being lied to. You're being deceived. And we live in a day and age where most of the people that I talk with don't even read their Bibles. The only thing they know what's truth and what's right is what somebody's telling them. And that's where they stand. But we, who are privileged to have the Word of God and to read it and study it and pick it apart, it'll take us so much deeper than we've ever gone. What I want to do now, I want to go into Revelation chapter 17. And there's one verse that stands out like a sore thumb. It's so easy to find it. And I want to look at it and see what you think. Revelation chapter 17. And I want to go to verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I started studying that one that one verse, and I was going deeper into that. Mother is one. Harlots are many, and those are daughters. A mother of harlots, a mother of daughters. So spiritually, what does mother represent? What does a woman represent whenever you read it in the Word of God? Churches. Churches. So then if you go back to chapter 18 and read the description of Babylon, do you mean to tell me the churches have demons in them? Foul spirits, corruption, deceits, and lying? Are the church people across the land being deceived? Are they being lied to? And you know, if you go, I don't have time to go through all the references, but if you go into the book of Jeremiah, it says in the last days of earth's history, whole congregations are going to turn around, go forward to destroy their pastors, crying out, why have you deceived us? Why have you led us astray? Because of you, we're lost for eternity. And we're told it's like demons on a mission of destruction. They go forward to destroy them. How would you feel if you knew that you were going to be lost because you were deceived by a minister you thought so much of and respected? But it's too late. It's over with. You know, I've shared this before. There's a judgment going on right now in the most holy of holies in the heavenly sanctuary. And when I go out and I go door to door and I take families into that area, and I always ask them, if your name would be called up right now in the investigative judgment, and they go through your life record, will Jesus stand before the Father and plead His blood for you? Will He tell His Father, she loves me, she's living for me, she's doing the best she can? Let's save her for eternity. And at the end of your life record will be written eternal life, pardon and forgiveness. But if your name is called up and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing and you're slapping God in the face and says, I don't believe you, I'm going to do what I want to do, will Jesus stand before His Father and cry, Father, Father, let's save them. They love me. Can He say that about you? She loves me or He loves me. They're living up to the truth and the light that I've shared with them. And if we're not, then at the end of our life record will be written eternal loss. And I share with a family, I say, you know what? One day soon, it's going to come to a close out here. And every man, woman, and child on planet Earth will have made their final decision for eternity, to be lost or to be saved. And that's why I call it the Ark of Safety. That's why my title's that way. Are you in the Ark of Safety? Do you know what the Ark of Safety is? Do you know what's going on in heaven right now, in the most holy of holies? And how soon will it be before your name is called? How soon? Okay, I want to go down to the next verse in here. Let's go down to verse 4. I believe that God has His people and all these different religions across the land that love Him, and they live up to the light where they are at. And they do. And when I share this with them, and I bring something really beautiful to them out of God's holy law, it's amazing how many people that I see that cry, who tell me, I never saw that before, I never heard that before, I've never been taught that. Satan is so deceptive and so deceiving. You know, I just sharing this with Rose. It's interesting. The Jewish people kept the Sabbath, but they rejected the Savior. The churches of today believe in Jesus Christ, but they reject the Sabbath. God has called a church into existence for this end time, who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who keep the seventh-day Sabbath and keep it holy, and they claim to have the spirit of prophecy, all that the book of Revelation talks about. So that's one thing I always tell the people that I meet. If you really want to know where to go, find a church that teaches all 10 of the 10 commandments, that have the faith of Jesus Christ, and that believe in the spirit of prophecy. And brothers and sisters, there's a Sunday law that's ready to be passed out here in America. And when they pass that law, it will be mandatory that everybody in America goes to church on Sunday. And if you don't go, you will be fined with heavy fines. You'll even be put in prison, and we're told that some will die. There's some strange movements that are ready to take place next year. So are we in the ark of safety? And what is the ark of safety? Let's read verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." God is calling his people out of Babylon. All the false churches, the churches that aren't teaching the truth, the churches that aren't teaching God's holy law. And the thing I really notice the most, almost everybody's fine with all 9 of God's commandments. But the 4th commandment, they refuse to listen to it. They don't believe it. They said it was changed. It doesn't matter anymore. And you know, in James 2, verse 10, it says if you break one of the commandments, you're guilty of what? All of them. If you break one, you're guilty of all. And I used to wonder, how can that be? If I'm not keeping this one, how can I break these? It doesn't make sense. But if you study that and really go deeper into it, if you break one, if you think about the false shepherds, the false leaders, they're going to be responsible for murder because their people are going to be lost and their blood will be on their hands. They're being lied to, right? The Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal." There's so much corruption going on today. I just heard this on the Christian news station. This was last week. Thousands of Protestant ministers are leaving their churches. They're just walking away, and nobody knows where they're going. Thousands of people are disenchanted right now with their churches, and they're walking out. And why are they walking out? Because God is calling them. He's saying, "Come closer to me. Come closer to me. I have some more light for you. I have more light for you." And if you go to 1 John 2, 3, and 4, he says, "He that saith he knoweth me and keepeth not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So if God has called you out of Babylon, we who know the truth, why would you go back to Babylon? Why would you walk into a church if you know there's demons in there? Why would you walk into a building where there's a habitation of every foul spirit? I love the way that God put this together. And the way he put it together, he wants us to pick it apart where it makes sense. Study it. and then take a deeper look at your life. We need to take a closer look at who we are. Do we really love Jesus Christ? I was sharing with Lily a couple days ago, I came across the statement and inspiration. It says that thousands of God's people are holding on to this truth by their fingertips. By their fingertips. And she says, when the storm comes, they're going to break away. They're going to fall by the wayside. So we ask the question, do we have things in our lives that we know that we shouldn't be doing? Every one of us was born into sin. Every one of us has been damaged. But God has the power to set us free. That's the difference, if we believe it, and if you want to be free. Then we go back to the ark, go back to Noah's time. When Noah built the ark, that ark was the length of 2 football fields, 3 stories high, and everybody was helping build it when Noah told them what's going to happen. They were afraid, weren't they? They thought a flood was going to come and to kill everybody. But you know what? Their leaders begin to tell them that's not true. And if I can say this, their pastors were telling them that's not true, that can't happen, that won't happen. And the people begin to believe it. And then they begin to laugh at Noah. They told Noah, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. We never had rain before. Never had rain. It was always a dew. But when the ark was completed, and I used to think about this, when the ark was finished, all of a sudden here comes wild animals by twos and by sevens. Human beings didn't believe it, but the animals did. And the animals went in by twos and by sevens. And I love that seven. That's God's perfect number. And they went in. And I try to picture Noah standing on the threshold. And he's pleading with the people, come in. Come into the ark of safety before the storm. Come in. And nobody would go in. They just stood there. Nobody would go in. And all of a sudden, here comes that bright light. An angel comes down from heaven. And he closes that massive door. They couldn't get in now. It was too late to go in. And then all of a sudden, seven beautiful days went by? Seven, there's God's perfect number again. And on the 8th day, it began to rain. And it rained so hard and so fast. And even the water was gushing up out of the ground. And if you look at the set of Bible stories that we put out, you'll see a picture of the flood. You'll see little children hanging onto the back of the parents while the parents are trying to break into the ark, but the flood sweeps them away. Little boys and girls, older people, young people, they were all destroyed because they refused to listen to what God was saying. So we're in that day and age right now. If God says not to kill somebody, do we listen? If God says not to steal from each other, do we listen? If God says love your brother and sister, do we listen? And when God says pray for each other, do we really pray for each other? You know, it's so deep. Because even the Bible says they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So I ask you the question in what I'm sharing today. You know, when we look at each other, what do we see? Do you see somebody you really love, or you just can't wait to get away from them? Do you see somebody you want to help make it to heaven one day? Do we really? You know, the book of Revelation talks about the faithful few. It doesn't say the faithful many. It says the faithful few. If you go back in history in the Old Testament, remember the 12 spies that were sent out to spy out the land? There were 12, right? And they were the children of Israel, those spies that were sent out. And when they went out, they saw all the giants in the land. And they were afraid. They says, we can't take it. But when they came back and they talked with Moses, they told Moses, we can't take them. They're too big. We can't take the land. There's giants. And they were big back then. But Joshua and Caleb, right? Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, yes, we can, because God is with us. But the other 10, then they picked up stones and they were ready to kill Joshua and Caleb because they said we could take the land. They believed in God. But God stopped. God intervened and spared their life. But you know what? When it came to going into the promised land, those 10 spies never went in. Only Joshua and Caleb went in. And then remember when they came to the mountain and Moses went up and God gave the 10 commandments? And Aaron built that golden calf, right? And what were the people doing, the children of Israel, what were they doing around the golden calf? They were dancing, they were naked, they were doing everything they wanted to do. But there was one tribe that didn't do what the rest of them were doing. Who was that? Who? The Levites. They didn't do that. They knew it was wrong. They stayed faithful and true to God. They stayed faithful and true to God. And that's what God has given me today to share. Are you faithful? Are you really true to God? Or do we have one foot in the world and we have one in heaven? It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. This old world one day is going to be destroyed. It's going to be taken from us. And I'm going to tell you what, I have a friend that's out west, and I don't, maybe Carol's heard of this, but they're commandeering people's property. And when they come in, you have to give them that land. They can take it. And they're doing it all across the country. But you know what's amazing? This is why I love the spirit of prophecy. We were told that day would come. And it's here. Everything we've been told in inspiration is happening. And even with meats. And I got to share this with you guys. We're told the day would come that we shouldn't eat animal products anymore. And why? I don't know if you heard what the latest is. They've been finding DNA in hot dogs. But that's not the only thing. They're finding a lot of stuff in meat that's human. That stuff is real. They did that back in olden days. They did that biblically. They're doing that around the world today. There's so much corruption that's sweeping through the land. And Wilhelmina mentioned something too, what they're doing to children. This is still going on today. If I told you what the elite are doing with teenagers, you wouldn't believe it. We are in a coming storm, you guys. It's not a game out here. It's real. And it's going to hit. It's going to hit with such fury. We won't even know what to do. And that's why we're told to press close together. Press closer to each other. Let each other know you love each other. You really care about each other. And we don't do that enough. We really don't. We talk it. But I'm going to tell you what, I've been in a lot of our churches. They talk about it, but you never see it. God wants a people that can't be bought, can't be sold, that will stand as true as a needle to the pole. So have we gotten to that point in our life right now? Is Jesus more important to you than anything this world has? Can you walk away from it when the day comes and you got to leave? Can you walk away? Now what I want to do, I want to go back to Revelation again. Okay. All right, I want to go back to verse 4. It says, be not partakers of her sins. Okay, and I want you to turn to James 2, verse 10. I want you to see that. If you offend in one point, you're guilty of what? All of them? If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So I thought about that one too, and I tried to go deeper with it. It says, be not partakers of her sins, right? He could have said, be not partakers of her sin, but he said sins, because when you break one, you break them all. There's no difference. You break one, you break them all. You know, we look at each other when we come to church on Sabbath, and we think we really know each other, but we don't. We really don't. We don't live with you every day. You don't live with me every day. You don't know how we act when we're in our home or on the streets or if you're going down the road. I remember a young man I met, he was 18 years old. Never went to church. He didn't want church. His father didn't want it. His father died. And one day he decided he was going to go to church with his mother. So his mother took him to church. He was surprised. He wanted to go and see what church was like. So he went to church. Pastor had a really beautiful sermon, and it really touched him. Then all of a sudden, they're coming home, and they come to a four-way stop. She stopped, and a pickup truck stopped. Then all of a sudden, they both took off at the same time, and they almost hit each other. And all of a sudden, his mother starts cursing at him, giving him the finger, doing everything. And he looked at his mother and he says, Mom, he said, I thought you were a Christian. He said, is this what Christianity is all about? And you know what? That young man never went back to church. But what's really interesting, I went back there probably about a month later, 2 months later, I think it was. And I want to find out how he was, what he was doing. So anyways, I talked with some of the people in the neighborhood, and they said he was arrested for something, and he was sent to the state prison. But you know, I think about us with each other. When we look at each other, what do we see? When we're around each other, what do we see? Do we truly, truly represent Jesus? Do we really? Do you know we are in a spiritual warfare? And we're told that Satan's power is going to increase 100-fold greater than you've ever imagined. And he's going to find some area in your life where he's going to take you and snare you. Have you ever seen a fly get caught in a spider web? Have you ever watched that fly try to get away? The more that he struggles, the more he gets entangled. And then the spider comes down. And he does what he's going to do to him. And that's what Satan's doing with us. We need to be a spectacle to this community, to each other. We need to be a lighthouse. We need to show the world that we are the remnant for this time. God called a remnant into existence to bring the Sabbath truth to the world around us. And I'm going to tell you, there's so many people out here right now that I meet every day are coming across the Sabbath on their own. I met a man that had a dream. He's just a young man. He was taken into the Bible and he was shown that the seventh day is the Sabbath. I met a young man that went to his mother. He just recently got married. Mother's Church of God. He says, Mom, he says, I've been reading in here. It says that the seventh day is God's day. Not the first. He says, why are we going on the seventh day? And she said, well, that's the way I've been taught and that's the way I've been raised. And he says, Mom, it's wrong. You can't. That's not what God teaches. And so I'm coming down the road. One, this is what I love about it. I'm coming down the road. And there were two guys in a van. He was standing talking to them. They saw him and the van took off. And the young man came over to me and asked me what I was doing. So I gave him one of the Ten Commandment flyers. And he looked at it and he looked at me and says, can I ask you a question? Which day do you think is God's day, according to the Bible? And I looked at him, I kind of smiled, and I told him what I thought. Now I said, I want you to look at the Ten Commandment flyer. And I said, read the one that's circled. And I'll never forget this. He read the one that was circled and he cried and gave me a big hug. He said, I want you to come in. He said, we're just remodeling this house. And so he said, I want you to tell this to my wife. I've been trying to share this with her. So we went inside and he introduced me to his wife. And he says, you remember what I've been trying to tell you? He said, read this paper he gave me. And she read it. And I'm going to tell you what, they all hugged me. And this didn't happen around here. This was somewhere else where this happened, but I'm sharing this for a reason. And here's what's beautiful about this. The next street down, the main street, where our light was, is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I told him, I just smiled on him. I said, I'm going to tell you what, this was a divine appointment. God brought me here for you, because I said, the next street over, look where the light is. I said, you'll find the church you're looking for. And so this is happening all across the country, you guys. There's people out there that are hungry and thirsting and waiting and praying. I don't know how many times I go door to door and all of a sudden I hear a knock, or I knock on the door and somebody comes to the door and they says, you know what? I says, I can't believe this. We were just in here praying that God would bring somebody to our door. And God brought me there. And this book, I brought my favorite book with me, and I know you guys know what it is. It's The Great Controversy. This book is going out in over 130 languages around the world. In America right now, people are having dreams about this book. They're told to buy this book. And when I go door to door and I meet ministers that buy this book for me, and I'll tell you what, if you've never read this book cover to cover, and if you have, I challenge you to read it over and over and over. This is the only book that will warn the world of the danger so soon to come. And you know, if you read in here, there's a chapter in here. It's called the French Reformation. Everything that France did, they got rid of the Bible. They got rid of the Ten Commandments. They got rid of God. They took a woman, called her the Goddess of Reason. Everything that France did, they even had homosexual marriages. Everything France did before the guillotine came out. Thousands of people died from the guillotine in France. Guess what? America's doing the same thing. Identically the same thing. Are we afraid to talk about the Ten Commandments? Are we afraid to talk about the Sabbath? If you go into the investigated judgment that's taking place in heaven, go into Hebrews chapter 9 and read about it. Or study what the sanctuary that Moses built, where they had two compartments, right? Had the outer and the most holy of holies. And in the most holy of holies was the Ark of the Covenant, right? And inside the Ark of the Covenant was what? The Ten Commandments. God's holy law. That law is God's law that governs the universe. Satan hates that law. And the reason he hates the Sabbath so much, it points to the creator of the world. Satan hates God. Satan hates his son. Because Jesus came to show us that we could keep God's law perfectly if we want to. If we want to. But there's a lot of people says, I can't. It's impossible. I'm not even going to try. Do you mean to tell me that it's hard for you not to kill somebody? You're having a struggle with that? You're having a struggle with stealing from people? And you can go through every one of those and people look at me, no, I don't think that. But every time I come to the fourth commandment, well, that one was changed. That was done away with. It was? Do you know what's amazing? Where we read in Revelation about Babylon? It's the mother of harlots. I want to share something now a little bit deeper and stronger probably. The mother church is Rome. Rome is the Catholic Church, right? That's the mother church. That's where all the other religions came out of. They protested against Rome. And that's how we got all the Baptists, Methodists, whatever. That's why they're all here today. If you go back and study the history of Rome, if you refused to bow to the Roman power, the Catholic Church. They were murdered by the millions, and Rome was doing it. Rome was doing it. And the thing that really shocks me, I did a lot of research even deeper on that. Every slave that was sold in America, Rome made money off of them. They got a kickback on it. And then you look at the Protestant religions that are falling apart. They profess to have Jesus Christ, to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But you know, if you study and do some really in-depth study, the KKK, and you know what that is, that's made up of the Baptist religion, and it's made up of the Methodist religion across this country. And they're very, very heavy into it. And inspiration tells us that slavery will one day come back into America, but it will be with God's people. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying, you guys. We have no idea what's coming. It's not a game anymore. It's a matter of life and death. So going back now to Babylon, why would you go back to Babylon? Why would you go into a place where this kind of stuff has been going on? Why? Why would you go back to a church that you know their ancestors were doing what they're doing? Rome is the one that's pushing through the National Sunday Law. Rome has taken us into a one-world government, and this is true. This is not a conspiracy theory, whatever. They want a one-world religion. Revelation tells us this will happen. And by the law of this land, you have to be part of that. And if not, there's consequences that God's people, the remnant people around the world, will pay. So what I want to do, okay, I want to go back all the way back to Genesis, okay? I want to back something up here. All right, I won't give any verses, but you can look through it until I get to the last one. When God created the world, He said the evening and the morning were the first day, right? The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third. He never put a name on any day, only one. He called it the Sabbath. And you look up in Scripture, look up in the encyclopedias, whatever, it'll tell you what the Sabbath means. He made it so plain, so beautiful, and so simple. How can we miss it? And you know, inspiration tells us that when we see the Sabbath in all its beauty, and if we would keep it the way it was originally intended from creation, we wouldn't be here today. We would have gone home a long time ago. So something's wrong. Something's happened. And as Wilhelmina mentioned in class, what are the idols we have? Is it our home? Is it our new cars? Is it the money we have in the banks? What is it we cling to? Is it our popularity? I want to be so well known that everybody likes me. Is self in the picture? Is self a struggle in our lives? Are we gaining the victory? Are we becoming everything that God wants us to be? And right now, I don't know how many of you know this or not, there's a real strong movement where they're going to do away with the Ten Commandments in America. They're going to be made null and void. They're actually going to be done away with. And the reason they're going to do that, they want to push through the new Ten Commandments for the New World Order. The new Ten Commandments for the New World Order. But one of the biggest reasons why, those flyers that are going out, those Ten Commandment flyers that I'm using and others are doing across the country, the fourth one circled, the great controversies that are going out, all that's happening in America is pointing people to the true Sabbath because it's pointing them to the Creator. And Satan hates that. The attention of the people are being brought to the fourth commandment. That's why this movement is becoming really strong. And if you look up Preston, Georgia, there are four stones. You can drive there if you want. They're 20 feet high, and they're in marble, and they're in eight languages. And read what the first commandment is for the New World Order. You'll know why people are getting sick, and you'll know why they're dying around the world like they are. Our food's getting contaminated. Everything that we're seeing. But again, it's a sign of the end of time. God is desperate. Even the angel cries out. The angel says, awake, awake. Come out of your sleep before it's too late. Come out of your sleep before it's too late. We think we have it right. But you know what I love? What I love about going door to door? Every family that takes time to talk with me is a divine appointment. And they know it. And they even tell me. There are so many people out here that have bought the great controversy, that have come across the Sabbath. There are so many people that are having dreams, and they're seeing the things that I'm sharing with you today. They know about what's going on out here. They're asking God, show us where to go. Where's our ark of safety? Where's the ark of safety? And I ask you this question. Are God's laws real? Is God a liar? Or is man a liar? When God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is God telling us a lie? Or is he telling the truth? If you listen to man, will man take you home for eternity? If you listen to God, he'll keep you on that narrow pathway. And one day, when that sky opens up and you see Jesus in all his glory, and he looks down on you and he says, welcome home, children. Welcome home. That'll be a day of rejoicing. And in the book of Isaiah, it says, from one Sabbath to another will all flesh come before me and worship in the earth made new. One Sabbath to another. So always remember, the Ten Commandments weren't just given to planet Earth. The Ten Commandments weren't given just to the Jewish nation. The Ten Commandments were given to Adam and Eve in the beginning. Adam and Eve kept the Sabbath. They knew about the Sabbath. The Ten Commandments were in heaven. Satan obeyed those laws perfectly until something happened. And they openly rebelled against God and his authority. So my closing remark, and I'll be done. Let me check one thing here. But I want to ask this while I'm looking for this. If you're going down the road, and the speed limit is 35, and you're going 50, when you see a police car, what's the first thing you do? Why? Why do you put your foot on the brake for it? Why do you slow down? Pardon? You're breaking the law, right? So God has the law. That law is more important than the laws of this country. Because that law will keep everybody in harmony with each other. That law will teach you to love each other, to obey. And he says, if you love me, and I always use that first word, and I always put a circle around it. He didn't say, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. So everybody in church today, we should love each other, right? We shouldn't avoid each other. We should call each other, let each other know I love you, that you're important. Because, you know, we're told the way that we treat each other, it's the same way you would treat Jesus if he was here with you. The same way. The same way. But what I was going to share, there's something here I got to read this to you because it just really, it left an impression on me. Okay, this is I've got to read this to you guys. Okay, when the loud cry goes forth, minds will be fully prepared to make decisions. A world is to be warned. When the third angel's message goes forth with loud cry, minds will be fully prepared to make decisions for or against the truth. The great charge is to be made by Satan and his evil angels, united with evil men, who will fix their destiny by making void the law of God. Satan is the one that hates the law of God. Satan's the one that tells you you don't have to keep the Sabbath. That's no longer binding. You do whatever you want to do. Go on any day you want to. But you know, he didn't tell us go on any day you want to go on. He only told us one day. And those that acknowledge that one day will receive the seal of the living God in their foreheads. Those that refuse to obey that will receive the mark of the beast. Those that desecrate God's law will receive the mark of the beast. Those that keep God's laws will be sealed. The other thought in here, the third angel's message will lighten the world under the loud cry. And the loud cry is to fear God, give glory to Him, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And it's the one that's circled. I won't read any more of this, but I'll tell you this as I close here. When Jesus comes, right before He comes in the sky, it says that a hand comes down through the clouds, and in that hand is held the Ten Commandments. And another hand will open it up where the whole world can see God's holy law, where they have broken it, where they have desecrated. And you know what's beautiful about that when you read that? There's only one commandment that is circled with a golden ring, and it's the fourth commandment. So I challenge you today, every one of you, take a really good look in your heart and your soul. We should be growing so much in Christ. We should be coming to a point in our life that if I get irritated, it should bother me. It really should. If I don't want to talk with you, that should make me uncomfortable. That's my brother. That's my sister. When we, you know, when that storm comes and we have to flee to the mountains, you know what I love? I got to share this with you. We're told that an angel will lead God's people through the forest, to the mountains, and to the caves. But He's going to lead us to where there's another group of people. But the angel tells us, stay there. You'll be safe. So that's where your faith is going to come in. Will you believe what that angel tells you when he takes you into that hiding? Or are you going to do what you want to do? Will you have the seal of God in your forehead? Do you want to be sealed? Do you want to be saved for eternity? If God tells you don't do this, don't do it. If God tells you do this, stay on that narrow pathway. And there's only a few, there's only a remnant that will stay on that narrow pathway to the end. And then it will be over. I want to go home to heaven. You know, I love you guys, but I'm going to tell you, by God's amazing grace, I'm going for it. I'm not going to talk about people. I don't like to talk about anybody. I don't want to criticize anybody. I want to learn to love everybody. But also, I want to be obedient to what God tells me to do. And by His amazing grace, I'll be there one day. Let's close with prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for not giving up on us. So many times we give up on each other. Sometimes we don't want to be around one another, or we're uncomfortable. But teach us how to love. Show us how to love each other. And You told us when we look into each other's face, if we don't like somebody, if we can just see that little bit of Jesus in that person we don't like and love that little bit of Jesus, we will grow to love each other. I pray this message that was given today, that it was heaven sent, And I pray that every heart, mind, and soul was touched, that it would create in them such a desire to want to be obedient, to be on that narrow pathway, and to be ready to go home to heaven in that day when you come in glory. Bless us now, I pray, in your holy name, and keep us safe throughout the Sabbath. Amen.